All right, so this morning is going to be a really cool message. And the reason why this is going to be a cool message is because it's about bread. Can somebody please give me an amen?
Amen.
I mean, the title of the message is one of my favorite phrases. It's, please pass the bread. Come on now, guys. And hey, come on, guys, I got some people. And you know what? I'm going to pass the bread this morning. I mean, we got lots of bread here. I mean, we're going to share the bread. Okay, Patrick, I'm going to start with you. And then you're going to take there's a bunch, man. This is Jesus. Jesus gives us leftovers, okay? And we're going to take it. I know this is a little awkward. We don't have napkins, but it'll be good. Tom, you just take it and figure it out. Go to town on the bread, all right? As you're I was in Scotland, my family's from Scotland. My grandmother was living there. She could move back to the States. And everybody was gone. It was just me. I was doing a couple of closing details on the house. And so I was walking down the streets of Glasgow one morning. And in Glasgow, they have, it's just a totally different environment. They have little hole-in-the-wall shops and stores for everything. They didn't have big, back then they didn't have real big supermarkets or anything. And so I walked by this place, a little bakery, and I smell the fresh bread coming out of the bakery. And mind you, I had just eaten breakfast at the hotel 10 seconds ago. But I smelled that bread, and I stuck my head in the window, and they had some fresh baked scones, right? And so I had me a scone. And now in Glasgow, the other thing is true, you walk everywhere. Nobody has cars, so you walk everywhere. It was probably about a 20-block walk to my grandmother's flat from where I was staying. And so I had that scone, and I'm walking down the street, and a couple blocks later, I had finished the scone, and you know what? There was another bakery. So you know what I'd had? I had me another scone, right? 20 blocks, 10 scones, 2 clogged arteries. It was all good, guys. All right. So bread is a big part of our lives. Who doesn't like bread of some kind, right? Even people who are allergic to gluten, right? They're always trying to find gluten-free bread. And guys, there's just nothing wrong with worry about gluten-free bread. I'm sorry if that's you. God's going to give you extra gluten in heaven. I believe it, all right? So bread is a big part of our lives. But friends, bread was essential to life at the time of Jesus. Bread and life went hand in hand. Women would spend a ton of their time preparing bread. They needed bread. Bread was essential to their lives. And in John chapter 6 today, we're going to first look at a miracle that Jesus performs involving bread. Then we're going to look at the conversation that Jesus has after the miracle about him being the bread of life. And at the end of our service, we're going to come to the table and partake of the bread that represents the broken body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for our time in your word today. Father, I ask that our ears would be open and our hearts would be soft to receive your truth. God, we believe that your word is more than a story. It's a knife that is going to cut our lives to the very core so that we could be everything you want us to be and we can receive everything you want for us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we look at the story, we're gonna learn something about Jesus and God. And you remember our series key truth as we look at the I Ams of Jesus Christ. The series key truth is God's greatest revelation about himself is seen in Jesus Christ. And we're gonna learn something really cool about God and Jesus today in this story. Okay, so to set it up, there's first a miracle. And in the miracle, there's two points that we're going to pick out. There's a lot of stuff that we could talk about, but we're going to concentrate on two things from the miracle. And the first point is this. The miracle proves that Jesus is our provider. In verse number 5 of John chapter 6, it says this. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Let me just stop there for a second. Guys, God knows tomorrow like it was yesterday or today. You know, that was the uncaused first cause. I mean, he knows everything. He's everywhere all at the same time. And he wants us to know, even as he has interactions with us about the moment, he's already in the future. And that should be extremely encouraging and comforting to us. And then Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have just one bite." Right? Okay, so if we went to Matthew's gospel, we know that there were 5,000 men present at this time besides women and children. That's a lot of people. And so he starts the conversation with Philip, and we have Philip's answer. But you know, I wonder what was the tone of Philip's answer? Was it frustration? Was it humor? Was it sarcasm? I mean, Jesus, it would take a half year's salary just to buy enough for everyone to get one bite. Or was it, Jesus, it would take half a year's salary for everyone to get just one bite. I mean, what was the gist of that conversation, right? But as he's having this conversation with Philip, something happens that changes everything, okay? Verse number 8. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will that go among so many?" Now, don't you just love guys like Andrew? I love guys like Andrew. They're jumping in with something, right? When there's a problem, give me something. Don't just come with frustration. Give me something. And you know what? I believe God, our Jesus, works well with something. I think that's what he works well with. Okay, so let's look at the situation from maybe a 40,000-foot perspective here. Now, on this day, as Jesus was teaching, and there were these thousands and thousands of people, and they were hungry, that was legitimate, nobody was going to die that day if they didn't get bread. This was not life and death, but it was a challenging and a frustrating situation for everyone involved. And you know what? Don't we oftentimes run into those challenging and frustrating situations in life, right? I mean, you get up late one morning, and then your kids don't want to get up at all, right? And you've got a huge presentation at work, and your kids, you were late, your kids are running late, and you drop off your kids after the bell, and you're scrambling, you're on your way, and before you get to work, your cell phone rings, you pick it up, and it's a school nurse saying, your kid is just upchucked all over the principal's desk. And you've got this presentation, and you call, and you scramble, and you get someone to go get your kid until after the presentation. And in the middle of the presentation, the internet goes down, and it's a disaster. And then on your way back to get your kid, you get a flat tire. No one's dying here, right? But it's not very enjoyable. It's not very fun. You know, guys, my God, my Jesus shows up in moments like that. Now, most of the time he shows up with the strength and the comfort and the assurance of his presence. You're going to get through it. There's hope for tomorrow, all that stuff. But then sometimes God shows up in pretty cool, amazing ways. And when we think back in our lives and our interaction, our experience with God, you'll see it too. I'll tell you a quick story about something, a time like that in my life a few years ago. And it was in the middle of a challenging pastor time in life, okay? And there are challenging pastor times. Things are, you're going on, problems, situations, all this stuff. And in the midst of this challenging time in general, there was a death, and I had to do a funeral, okay? And so it was an early morning funeral, and I did the funeral. And after the funeral, I went to my office, and I was going to change into my workout stuff and go to the gym because everybody says that you feel better after you leave the gym. Now, in 52 years, that has never happened to me yet, but I still keep going in hopes that one day it'll happen, all right? And so I change out of my clothes. I'm putting my clothes in my car, and I have a bad habit. Sometimes I set things on the roof of my car before I get in the car, and I forget that they're up there, things like coffee cups and different things like that. So the next morning, I'm sitting in my office, and my assistant at the time, Lynn, comes walking in with one black leather shoe and says, hey, why was there one black leather shoe on your car? Well, I said, yesterday, there was two on my car, and I don't know why there's just one right now, right? I had my ski racks on my car, and so one got jammed in the rack, and now there's a homeless person somewhere in Colorado Springs with one really nice black leather dress shoe, right? I never found it. And my immediate reaction was, God, really? Why did you do this to me? Now, did God put the shoe on the roof of my car or did I? I did it, but I blame God because that's what we do. We blame God for everything we do, right? All right? And I'm frustrated and I'm just in this deal. Well, a couple days later, I am late for an appointment. And I am driving like a banshee through the neighborhood. I'm driving too fast on 115. I come to a stoplight, and I see this guy running up alongside my car from his car behind me. And he knocks on the window, and I said, what's going on? And he says, hey, you might want this. And hands me my computer that I left on the roof of my car, and somehow at 65 miles an hour, he saw it and gave it to me. Guys, God didn't save my shoe, but he saved my computer. And you say, no, that wasn't God, that was just life, that was circumstance. No, I believe that was God. Because God shows up. It's not a make-believe hunger. Jesus then repeated all this to the disciples. Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Guys, the key truth there is with Jesus, we go from no food to leftover food. You have nothing when you start, and you have extra when he's done. Guys, that's God. The question into everyone's mind is, who is this man? Verse 14. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. Now, guys, these people on the side of that hill that day were familiar with prophets with bread stories. Like Elijah back in the Old Testament, who came to a widow woman who had just enough flour and oil to make one more loaf of bread in the time of a famine, and she was planning on making that bread and eating it, and then her and her child were going to die. And Elijah says, hey, if you'll just give me that last loaf, your flour and your oil will never run dry. You'll have enough until the famine is over. And she did, and God did. He provided bread. He was the provider for their need. He gave them leftover. There was always, even when she scraped the bottom of the bowl, there was still some left. We know that they were thinking about the prophet Moses. And you remember the story of the prophet Moses when the children of Israel were wandering in the desert and they didn't have anything to eat. And Moses, the prophet, comes and he says, God's going to give you super bread called manna every day until we get into the promised land. And sure enough, every morning they got up and they went to Panera and they got their super bagels for the day for 40 years. They were wondering, who is this? Jesus. And Jesus is going to turn the conversation. He's going to turn it now to a conversation that's going to show that he is a prophet like any other. So let's look at the conversation, skip a few verses, and go down to verse 25, where Jesus turns from our physical to spiritual needs. When Jesus gave that bread that day, free food plus, right? The people started getting in their minds and said, okay, if I follow this Jesus, then he's going to give me stuff. And Jesus said, I want you to understand what I'm really trying to give you. Look at what they say in verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Now, and it's interesting, Jesus totally ignores this question. Because Jesus knows this question is a distraction. And instead, in verse 26, Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill, right? The only reason you're here is you want more bread. I know that about you. I know that, and I'm good, and I want to do something more, right? Do not work for food, verse 27, that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Now, Jesus often starts with the physical, like what's going on right here, and he moves to the spiritual, right? He started with this bread. And now he says, okay, we're going to heaven. We're going to God. We're going to eternal life right away. You know, that's a lesson for us. How many of you had conversations about the Super Bowl last week? Raise your hand. Okay? That was a wonderful spiritual opportunity. And you're saying, how? Well, you just simply had to say, hey, you watch the Super Bowl? Yeah. Aren't you glad the evil empire lost? And most people would have said, yes, I'm glad they lost. And then you could have simply said, hey, that's the way it is with God. We think the enemy's winning and winning and winning, but in the end, God wins. Don't you want to know about that God? I mean, there's every physical opportunity, every spiritual, every physical question, conversation has the opportunity to turn spiritual if we want to. It's what Jesus does. And what Jesus wants them to know, what Jesus wants us to know in this whole event is this key truth. Physical food will not do for you what spiritual food will do for you. You aren't here because I did something. You're here because you're hungry. And Jesus said, hunger, physical hunger, is not the most important thing. There's a spiritual need. There's a spiritual longing that we all have. Let me ask you this question. Ask you three questions. Have you ever had good sex, a great meal, or gotten a big raise? And in the moment, all of those things were spectacular. They were wonderful. But were they truly satisfying and fulfill all of your desires? No. Guys, we have entire networks, multiple networks in our culture dedicated to sex, food, and money. We worship those things, and yet none of those things bring ultimate fulfillment. Just like Jesus said to them, hey, bread is never going to give you everything you're looking for. That only comes from a relationship with me. So after he points this out, the people now want direction. In verse 28, it says, they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Like the 5,000 men getting more than they wanted wasn't enough. What are you going to do, right? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they asked, always give us this bread. There's a ton there, isn't there? Hey, show me another sign. The last one wasn't enough. What must I do? I want to earn this super cool thing you're talking about. And Jesus said, you know what? This is the deal. The work is to believe in the one who did the work. Right? The work is to believe in the one who did the work. And who was the one that did the work? Jesus. Jesus said, believe in me. And you know what? By the way, you've got the whole Moses thing messed up. It wasn't Moses who brought the bread. It was God who gave the bread. It's not humans that are supposed to be our focus, our attention. It's God. Focus on God, and then we see something really cool. At least some of them get it, right? Some of them get it, and they say, sir, give us this bread. We want it. Okay, lastly in the conversation, so that was just one big introduction, right? Now this is the point. In the conversation, the identity of Jesus is confirmed. Jesus makes this statement, the greatest statement in the 2 days stories. And he says this, then Jesus declared, verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And Jesus is talking about an aspect of himself and God. And he is saying clearly to all of them, to all of us, that Jesus is our provision. God is our provider. How many of you have ever heard the term or the name Jehovah Jireh? It's the Old Testament name, and it says God the provider. And do you know where that term Jehovah Jireh was first used? It was first used in Genesis, in the story of Abraham going to sacrifice his son Isaac. And Abraham and Isaac are on the way to a sacrifice where they're about to give to God, because that was Abraham's tradition. He taught it to his children. We're going to give back to God. God has given us everything. We're going to give back to God. And Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, the thing on this earth that he loved more than anyone else. And Abraham and Isaac have a conversation. It's in Genesis chapter 22. You can read the story later. It says in verse 7, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Jehovah Jireh will show up. And Jehovah Jireh did show up. There was a ram that God provided caught in the thickets of the weeds. And God offers that Abraham offers that to God. And they all see that day. Abraham and Isaac see that day. We see in that instance, we see in the feeding of the 5,000, we see in the statement, "I am the bread of life," that God is our provider. Guys, Jesus is the cure for our cravings. Let me say that again. Jesus is the cure for our cravings. Say that with me. Jesus is the cure for our cravings. The real ones, the important ones. Jesus is the one who provides love ultimately for your desire to be loved. Jesus is the one who provides relationship for your desire to be in a pure, true relationship. Jesus is the one who provides for our needs and identity and purpose. Guys, God is our provider. And most importantly, God, Jesus, is the one who provides for our life. Today, we're going to end our service by coming to a table. You know, at the dinner table, that's the worship team. You guys come on up here. When we come to a dinner table, the bread is often broke and it's passed around and shared, right? Jesus has a meal with his disciples. We call it the Last Supper. And at that meal, he takes the bread and he breaks the bread. And he shares it, and as he shares it with them, he says, "Hey, this represents my body that is broken for you." As often as you do this, as often as you eat this bread, remember that I am the bread of life.